Super Great up on stage this morning. Take a squiz, check them out. Very, very nice. Why don't you take a seat this morning? So I'm not dressed for the occasion this morning. Are you well? Are you surviving the rain? Oh, I kind of like it. I like it now more that Joe made it spiritual. It was just making me a bit grumpy. But good morning. Dave and Alex are up in Burnie ministering this morning. So why don't we just take a moment to pray for them and the ministry that they're involved in this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Dave and Alex. We thank you for their lives given over to worship you and to build your kingdom. We thank you that you have blessed them this morning with a word in season. We pray for the people of Burnie and the people that they're ministering to. We pray all of our love and grace and all the things that the good things that we think about them would be present on their minds, that they would know that they are called of you and sent out by us this morning to minister your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of this morning's message is Get Out of Your Rocking Chair, It's Time to Move Forward. Has anyone heard of the 19th century acrobat Blondin? That name ring any bells? Seen any pictures of an incredible man who was fearless and was a tightrope walker and early on in the 19th century, actually took the bold plunge of placing a tightrope over Niagara Falls and completing it not once, not twice, but hundreds of times, wowing hundreds of people, thousands of people. Actually, on the first occasion that he did it, there were 25,000 people watching to see if this man would fall to his death as he took the plunge. He did some incredible things when he was actually performing, and when he came to Australia, he actually made a small fortune by performing these incredible acts over a tightrope. You know, when he walked over Niagara Falls, he did it first walking. He then did it with stilts on. He then did it wheeling a wheelbarrow. And then at one crossing, he actually stopped in the middle, cooked up an omelette, and proceeded to eat it in the middle of Niagara Falls. He was fearless. And at one point in 1960, there was a royal party from Britain. He'd actually come to watch him perform this feat. They saw him walk on stilts and they saw him do it again, completely blindfolded. And next, he wheeled out a wheelbarrow and did it from one side to the other. And at one point, he actually came back with a sack of potatoes in the wheelbarrow. And it is recorded that after these crossings, he actually approached one of the members of the royal party and he asked, "Do you believe that I could take a man across the tightrope in this wheelbarrow?" And the Duke that he had proposed this question to replies, "Yeah, I do." And Blondin says to him, "Come on then, hop in." Now the Duke declined Blondin's challenge. And he might have actually believed that Blondin was capable of doing it, but he wasn't about to trust him with his life. This morning, I believe that God is looking for a group of people and us this morning, challenging us. He is looking for followers who not only believe that he is capable, but who will trust him with our lives. Who, like that Duke, will actually say, "Yeah, I believe you can do it, God, and I'm willing to hop into the wheelbarrow and trust you with my life." Why don't you turn to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. And it says here, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. This morning, can I encourage you with just that seemingly simple statement, that we might trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. You see, the call of a Christian is to have the kind of trust in God that is willing to make us prepared to put our entire lives into God's hands. You say faith can sometimes seem like an airy-fairy concept, can't it? It's kind of off there, pie in the sky, up with the clouds. And it's hard to sometimes actually describe in our life what it is to have faith. And it's hard to know whether we really have it or not. And we are to have faith. And can I encourage you this morning that trust in God is a practical outworking, is a practical evidence of our faith in God. You see, do we understand what trust means this morning? And after all, in everyday life, we find ourselves having to trust people. We find ourselves having to trust things and concepts. We find ourselves having to trust machines to perform a whole range of functions. You see, we have to trust this morning that the engineers who designed this building did it in such a way that it will not collapse on our heads. We have to trust our friends and our husbands that they will give us an appropriate response when we ask the question, "So, do you like my new haircut? How do these jeans look?" And we have to trust that they will be forthcoming with an appropriate response. We have to trust the timing devices in our heat pumps, in our DVD recorders, in our ovens, that when asked to come on at the appropriate time that they would do so that we're not stranded in the freezing cold. We have to trust the fuel gauge in our car that tells us how much fuel we have or how much fuel we don't have, that comes on with a little red light and begins to scream and begins to yell, "You need petrol! You need petrol. Pull over. You need petrol. You cannot drive any further. Fill me up or I'm going to conk out." We have to trust this mechanism. Can you tell that I often run out of petrol? I need to put more trust in the mechanics who designed my car and put that red flashing light in there for good reason. We invest trust into the pilots, the maintenance crews, and the air traffic control people. We exercise trust all the time, quite unthinkingly. And in likewise, can I encourage you this morning to exercise trust in God? Trust is the practical outworking of faith. It is when we trust God that we can show that our faith, that our belief in Him is real. The call here this morning, as laid out in Proverbs chapter 3, is to have a complete trust with God, with our whole lives. We're not to pick and choose which area of our life we'll actually hand over trust to Him. "Lord, I'll trust you with my marriage, but I can't possibly trust you with my career. I'll trust you with my children, but I can't trust you with my husband. It is evident to me that we need to put our whole heart and put our whole life into His hands. We are to get in the wheelbarrow when God challenges us, and we are to trust the Lord with all our hearts. So this morning, how are we to tell whether we are trusting Him with all of our lives? And then going on from chapter 3 and verse 5, going on from those, are evidence to me of how we can actually put our trust in God. And so the first one this morning, to move forward, we must lean less on ourselves and more on God. You see, one thing that I continually come back to in my own life, and I see evident throughout history and humanity, is that we think we know better than God. Ever think you just know better than God? I often think I know better than a lot of people. And sometimes that includes God. You know, verse 7 says that we are not to be wise in our own eyes. You see, like Adam and Eve thought they knew better than what God had instructed them. You see, like their wisdom and their understanding back in the very first moments of creation, we see that there, the beginning of our wisdom and our understanding is weak, crooked, and in fact completely unreliable. Do we have any bushwalkers here this morning? Anyone like to take a little stroll out in the bush? Don't do it today. One of the things I love about bushwalking is when you first arrive at a location is to actually pick up the stick that you are going to take as your companion on the walk. Now, I know there are new fandangle ones that are metal, and, you know, I'm sure if you are a professional bushwalker, then you have one, maybe two. But as a kid growing up and actually completing outdoor ed, one of my favourite things was to select the kind of stick that would accompany me on my walk. It would be suave. Like I would search for that thing for as long as needed to have the most fantastic looking stick out of all the bunch. It would be kind of have a little bit of quirkiness about it on the top to rest your hand on. It would be the perfect height, and it would just be there ready to call on when needed. When my little legs did not want to walk any further, then this stick would be beside me to pull me up the hill and to keep me going and help me endure the bushwalk. It needs to be the right length for your height. It needs to be sturdy enough to withhold some weight and hold some pressure when called on. And it has to be trusted when the time comes for you to rely on that stick. See, incredibly, when we rely on our own wisdom, it's like a stick that is worm-riddled or bug-infested. From all appearances on the outside, it looks good. Appears good to the eye, but when we come to lean on it, when it comes time to rely on it, then we are going to topple over. The Bible encourages us for good reason not to rely on our own wisdom, to not rely on our own understanding, but to rely on the Word of God. See, we persist in doing things our own way. We persist in thinking that our ways are higher than God's ways. We think that we know better than Him, but it's madness. We must not lean on our own understanding, but instead turn our trust over to God, that His upside-down kingdom, that His ways can be trusted. There is solid, reliable understanding that we can lean on, that we can build our lives on. It is the understanding that is written in the Bible, the words out of God's own mouth. Lean not on our own understanding, but instead lean on the wisdom of God's word. We have to learn to think His thoughts, and that in turn will help us to seek Him and trust Him with all of our hearts. As we follow on in Proverbs chapter 3, the second thing this morning to move forward with God is in all our ways to acknowledge Him. And my emphasis this morning is not so much that we would acknowledge Him, because I think in many ways we are good at acknowledging Him. What I want to collectively encourage us this morning is that we not encourage Him in part, but we acknowledge Him in completion. We acknowledge Him in every aspect of our life. You see, it's interesting to me that we can actually separate out our life as Christians, that we have one box over here that is us as a Christian, us who goes to church, us who gives financially, and then come Monday morning, here is me in my workplace, here is me in my family, and we continually separate out God from the secular. So we have this unusual assumption that God cares about what I do in Sunday morning at church, but not what I do about on Monday morning when I arrive at the office. God cares about the money that I have and who I give it to, but he doesn't care about how I come to earn that money in the first place. It is the assumption that God cares about which church that I go to, but he does not care which house that I live in. It is an assumption that God cares about whether I read the Bible, but he's not interested in my television viewing. It's this incredible, mucked up kind of thinking that we can acknowledge God in the things that we think he wants us to do right, the things that he thinks are important, and we neglect what we think are natural, worldly, just everyday parts of life. The call here in Proverbs is for God to be an active part and for us to acknowledge him in every aspect of our life, in our day-to-day, ordinary lives. And can I encourage you this morning? I think one way that we can get a good indication of whether we are acknowledging God in all our ways is by just simply looking at what we are praying for. What are you praying for this morning? What are the things that you come to God and you actually present to him and you acknowledge that he can have discerning rights in that area of your life? What are you acknowledging him in this morning? Are you acknowledging him in your finances? Are you acknowledging him in your family? Are you acknowledging him in your marriage? Are you acknowledging him in your workplace? Are you acknowledging him in your studies? Are you acknowledging him when you arrive in a car park? Are you acknowledging him when you arrive at a shop? Is he a part of your ordinary day-to-day life? Is he a part? Are you acknowledging him in the very, very ordinary aspects of your life? I have noticed in the world that there is an incredible concept that you and I take part in probably most days. Got any ideas about what I might be thinking about this morning? You see, the world has a way of moving forward. And it's called worry. The world has an energy, and our own wisdom in ourselves has a way in which we think we should move forward. It has movement, it has friction, it has tension, it has momentum. But will it get you anywhere this morning? You see, to be worried or to worry is to be worried, to be concerned, to be anxious, to be troubled or uneasy. You might worry about your job, you might worry about your finances, you might worry about your children. It is to disturb the peace of mind and be affected with mental agitation or distress. I cannot sleep, my daughter's health is worrying me. Worry is to be concerned. It is a source of unhappiness. It is to touch or to rub something constantly. Now, sometimes we ask little Wesley, who has a few skin irritations, is something worrying you, Wes? Because he's repeatedly touching an area on his skin. What is it that you're worried about? What is it that's agitating you? What is it, this friction, this concern that you have? Worry is an emotion in which a person feels anxious or concerned about a real or an imagined issue. It is disquieted, afflicted, and marked out by an anxious uneasiness, trouble, or grief. Worrying is the act of moving something by repeated tugs or pushes. You see, the way of the world, the way of our own wisdom, the way of our own thinking is that we should worry about all of these things, that we should get agitated, concerned, distressed, pent up with emotion that causes us to push and to struggle and to fight and to be concerned about all of these things. The way of our own understanding is that we must lean on what we think is right, what we think is true. Worry, feeling uneasy or troubled, it seems to plague multitudes of people in our world today. And it is human nature that we would be concerned about the bad situations in our world and in our personal lives. But can I place a warning out there this morning? If we're not careful, the devil would encourage this behaviour in us and encourage us to be worried beyond what is reasonable. Joyce Meyer has written a fantastic article which I've read recently. And she says this: worry is like a rocking chair. It's always in motion. Always in motion. We're worried about the kids. We're worried about their health. We're worried if they're going to grow up and know that we love them. We're worried about our job. We're worried about all of these things. It's like a rocking chair. It's constantly in motion, constantly plaguing our thoughts, constantly there, constantly agitating in us. And the more that something concerns us, it's like being on that rocking chair. And we just rock harder and harder and harder and harder and harder in a desperate attempt to move forward in a situation. And yet worry, being worried and concerned and agitated, in fact, it is always in motion, but it never gets us anywhere. Worry is, in fact, the opposite to faith. Worry is the opposite to trust in God. Worry is what causes us to rely on ourselves, that we must return to what we think we know. We return to what we think we should do, and we begin to worry, we begin to think, be concerned about all of these things. Worry is caused by not trusting God to take care of various situations in our lives. Too often we trust in our own abilities, believing that we can figure things out, we can figure out how to take care of our own problems. Yet sometimes, after all of our worry, after all of that spent emotion in worrying about a situation, we are no better off from when we started worrying about the thing in the first place. In fact, we're worse off, because now we have a headache from all the thinking that we've been doing about how we're going to fix this problem. Got no solution, just a whole lot more worry going on. Can I encourage you this morning? The Bible has some very clear thoughts about worry. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, it says this, and this is how it is written in the Amplified Bible: do not fret or have anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, by your definite requests with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and being content with its earthly lot, whatever sort that earthly lot is, that peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Can I urge you this morning? Can I champion us as a people that we would take heart this scripture, that we would get off our rocking chair this morning, get out of the rocking chair of worry, and we would begin to pray. we would begin to place all of our cares, all of our concerns in every situation, no matter how small we think it is, and let the peace of God transcend all of our understanding of how that could naturally be, that though no solution may magically become apparent, yet I have peace. I have peace in place of worry. I've begun to realize in my own walk with God that a lot of the aspects of Christianity, a lot of the disciplines that God asks of me to participate in relationship with Him, are there that I might learn to trust Him. I'm beginning to learn that God asks me to participate in the discipline of financially giving so that He might prove Himself as my provider, that I might trust Him with my finances. Finance is a huge part, if I look back over my life, that I worry about. Do you ever worry about your finances? Ever find yourself in that rocking chair just wondering how you are going to get that bill paid? How am I going to get through uni with all these things that I've got to do? How am I going to raise 3 children on this fixed income? How? And we begin again to rock harder and faster. We begin to worry. It begins to increase in our mind the troubles that we have about our money. And yet God has put a simple request on us. Simple request that we would give financially into His kingdom, that we would sacrificially give of our money. And what I'm beginning to learn is that He asks us to do that so that we might be able to see Him and trust Him and record of Him that He is faithful and true to His word. I'm beginning to understand that God asks us to participate in the discipline of rest so that He might prove to us that He is faithful and true, that He can be trusted. It's an incredible time that we live in, and we have seen incredible change even in the last 100 years in regard to how humanity regards work. Anyone feel like you are just got too much work? No one else? We have seen an incredible turnaround, and a lot of that I love and embrace. I embrace technology that gives us the ability to work 24 hours a day potentially, that gives us the ability to work in different environments, that gives us the ability to work out of the office and gives us hopefully freedom to work in different places around the world. And yet what we see is this increased pressure. Man, I feel for you so often. How many hours are you working at the moment within your job? You know, 40 hours a week at one point in our time was considered the utmost of what anyone should be expected. Yet I doubt for many of you that you have the blessing of a 40-hour week. Many of you, I'm sure this morning, have a 50, 60, 70-hour working week. And yet God, when we take on board this worldly perspective, that we must participate in this ongoing worry about work, we begin to worry and fret and be consumed by all that is happening in our workplace. We begin to get pent up with emotion. And yet I'm beginning to see that God has asked me to participate in this discipline of rest because it produces in me a trust that He will take care of my efficiency, that He will take care of that to-do list when I sit down and participate in rest. To participate in rest, we have to trust in God, that under His instruction, when we take time to rest, that we have to place over to Him all the things that I can still think about that I haven't yet got done. And yet, God, you asked me at this point to take a rest. I have a growing awareness that participating in this discipline is part of the natural process and rhythm of life that God has intended for humanity to function in. We must take time to read, reflect, reconnect, refresh, relax, revitalize, remind, revisit, refocus, to rest, to spend time. Meeting all of these words face to face and becoming aware that God can be trusted. That on the seventh day when he took time to rest, that he had put all the rhythms and motions into action for creativity, for productivity to happen. He put in place all the rhythms and motions for the birds and the bees. And he didn't go meddling on the seventh day to ensure that the birds and the bees knew what they were up to. He put all of these rhythms and motions in place that we might rest and that the world might go on without us, that the world continues on. He rested and saw that it was good. He has put into place the discipline of serving others, that we may not be consumed with ourselves, but in stepping out of our own cares and concerns for just a moment to bless others, that we would take ourselves out of that rocking chair of worry and concern, that we would hop off for a moment with all the things that we are concerned about and participate in serving others, with blessing others with what we have. In all of these areas of life, can I encourage you, why don't we get the team back this morning and we'll finish up. You see, in many of these areas of life, the world's way of thinking is that we've got to take care of it all by ourselves. We have to rely on our own understanding. We have to rely on our own wisdom and our own thinking about how we're going to sort out all these problems. And if anything, we begin to make ourselves sick with worry. We become consumed. And instead, let me remind you again of Philippians chapter 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, the closing verses that I was reading there from Proverbs chapter 3, they say this, and he will make your paths straight. You know, this looks like a good end to trusting in God, does it not? Fairly simple promise that when we trust God with all of our hearts and acknowledge him in all our ways, that he will make our paths straight. We will find eternity of joy and peace in his presence. Why don't you stand for just a few minutes this morning? This aspect of God actually making our paths straight also reminds me and also warns me that our path in life is not God's path necessarily. It's not always the path that we would choose for ourselves. Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many, many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. God's path in life is not often what we would choose for ourselves. The path that I often choose is to sit back, relax on my rocking chair, and begin to worry, to be concerned about all of these things. And yet I get a really strong sense this morning of God wanting to move us forward, to make our path straight. And I get a heavenly push this morning to get off my rocking chair, to no longer be anxious or mindful, but in all things I would begin to pray. What a simple, simple choice that appears this morning. What a simple choice. And yet I know the struggle this morning. I know the struggle of being wound up, being concerned, and feeling like we can't trust anyone else with this list of problems and concerns, that I have to take care of all of these things by myself. Yet, can I encourage you, and I will pray for you in just a moment, that God this morning would bring to mind all of the disciplines that we need to participate in to know that He can be trusted this morning. If you're a Christian here this morning, life feels weighed down and burdened all the time, can I challenge us this morning? Though the problems may not magically disappear, if you are constantly weighed down and burdened, I'm prepared to challenge you this morning that something is gone amiss in your relationship with God. Because these incredible instructions in Philippians encourage us that God's peace, when we begin to pray, when we begin to present all of our requests, when we begin to acknowledge Him in all of our ways, the peace of God shall be yours. It will transcend all understanding. It shall garrison and mount a guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This morning, let me encourage you this morning to move forward, into a life and a daily walk with God that will see us begin to trust Him with every area of our life. Let me pray for you this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each and everyone here this morning, gathered to worship you and to acknowledge you. I pray this morning that you would help us get out of our rocking chairs this morning. Help us get out of this pattern of thinking, this pattern of worry in our lives, and instead this morning, in all our ways, acknowledge you, that we might trust you and know you to be faithful and true. Amen.
Lost, but now I'm today.
Anyone else love reading the Psalms? Because you see someone who's real. He talks about lying in bed at night, tossing and turning, worried about what the day holds. And then he says, your mercies are new every morning. Anyone else who laid here in bed, and well, you probably haven't laid here in bed, laid at home in bed at night concerned. Why don't you just close your eyes for one moment? I want you to do something practical before God. And most of us are blessed to have 10 digits, if not substitute. I want to ask you to, this morning before God, acknowledge on a scale of 1 to 10, God, I'm a worrier. God, anxiety's got a grip on me. And I want you with your fingers before God, and if you're new to church or you don't normally come, then just ignore this part of the service. It's a little corny, but I really sense before God this morning, some of you need to acknowledge, God, I'm in a place of worry. And I think maybe on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm at about a 7. And things have got me really wound up. So why don't you, your hands might be in your pockets. You don't have to flash your fingers at the person next to you. Go, here I am. No, this is you and God. Just before God, right now, God, I want you to acknowledge what we declare before you. What we are saying to you this morning, God, on that scale of 1 to 10. 1, we're not worrying too much. We're casting our cares upon you. But at 10, some of us are losing sleep night after night, worrying, unable to change, attempting to change some situation in our life, worried about global warming, worried about the economy, worried about our kids, worried about our parents, worried about all sorts of things. And God, this morning, our prayer is that you would teach us to lessen the worry. God, you said to cast our cares or our anxieties upon you because you care for us. And God, this morning we as your people want to learn to trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. And this morning, God, we want to be people who trust. And we're not stuck on that rocking chair of worry, unable to move forward in Jesus' name. Just while eyes are closed, maybe this morning is your time to trust in Jesus. You've been looking for a while. You've been wondering. You've been asking the questions. Well, this morning, let me encourage you that at the end of the service, I would love to speak to you. Anna would love to speak to you. Any of the life group leaders in the church would love to speak to you about where you are in your journey with Jesus Christ. You may not have said yes to Jesus yet. We're praying for you that you would, at some point, accept his amazing gift, accept what he's done for you, and say yes to Jesus Christ. Why don't, this morning, I want to give you a slightly different opportunity this morning. And while eyes are closed, including the band, the sound guys, the ushers, just close your eyes for one moment. We're not asking for a decision this morning. I want to ask, if you're on the journey and you're looking at the things of God and genuinely inquiring into what it is that God is doing on the earth and what it is that he wants to do in your heart. Why don't you just give me a wave to say, yeah, I'm on that journey. I haven't got it worked out. I'm not quite there yet, but I am looking. Why don't you just give me a wave? Let me know that that's you, because we love it. We love to be able to pray for people. Great. Put your hands across the room. I just want to bless you this morning. You can put your hands down. I want to bless you on your search. As you come to Christ and say, I don't understand it all, but Jesus, would you please reveal yourself to me? Those hands that went up just there, I bless you this morning. In Jesus' name, we pray that you would find what you are looking for. And if you've got questions this morning, wow, we will try so hard to answer them for you. Why don't you come and talk to us? Church, have a magnificent day. You can open your eyes. Have a fantastic day in God. Have a cup of tea and coffee with us. Matt Sharple's here tonight. One of my favorite preachers. He is, if he preaches under an hour, we've done pretty well. He's an amazing preacher. If you've never heard Matt preach, why don't you make the effort to be here tonight? He will stir you. He will truly stir you. And something I just find sitting under his ministry, something the Holy Spirit just really kicks in my world and stirs me up. So I encourage you to be here tonight. Church, don't worry. Who of you can add a single hour to your life? Jesus said this. Who of you can add a single hour, a minute, even a second to your life by worrying? Now, what Anna wasn't talking about this morning was a holy discontent, a genuine concern, a desire to change things for the better. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about getting on that treadmill like being a rat in a cage, and you're running and you're worried and you're in a cycle and you're stuck. In Jesus' name, you need to be released from that. Why don't you bring it up this week in your life group? Why don't you just say in front of your life group? Chances are your whole life group knows it about you anyway. Say that with all due respect. But maybe in your life group this week, just say, okay, I've got a problem with worry. What can we do about it? And get your life group to pray for you. That's what they're there for. They're there for you. They're there to bless you. And you're there to bless them. So be in your life group this week. 6 o'clock tonight. What else do I need to announce for this week? Everything sweet, and encourage you as well. Get into Energizer College. That was a great presentation earlier. And thank you, Anna, for the message this morning. Bless you and have a great day.